Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast, along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Benfica Independent, with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista, que solo nosotros sentimos así. Por muchos desgostos que possamos tener, valores más altos se levantan. E o valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
Can you hear me?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo Fumasich. What's going on, everybody? Episode 487. My wife told me not to scream.
I already broke that rule.
So much for that. Here we are, episode 487. We got the full house today. Dave's back. Dave, what's happening, brother?
What's going on? Good to be back here.
We missed your stats.
Missed my stats. I missed being on. Talking with you guys last week, but feeling much better here, and good to be back with the entire gang this week here.
And Cristiano's here. How you doing, Cristiano? I know that you haven't been feeling too well. How you been?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to make sure that there's no echo, that no apalhaçada.
Yeah, let us know how the sound is, but from what I understand, yeah, it's probably okay. Good.
The Freddy took the night off today.
The Freddy took the night off.
I do want to welcome Alfredo. I'll let you, Justin Aragon, Cindy So, Johnny C, David de Oliveira, Cristiano Oliveira. I want to welcome all you guys to the chat. Thank you very much for putting up with our nonsense. And
smash that like button.
Yes,
yeah, smash that like button.
Good news, for you guys. Good news. For you guys, because I'm not getting it through our minds, there's only what, two more of these left, Alfredo?
After this one and one more, I think.
No, he's got to do two more. No, we're going to do the buy, sell, loan, keeper, mar, Malta, monk, one pod? No, that's got to be a special pod in itself. I mean, that is like pay per view. It's become pay per view. No?
We're gonna put it behind the Patreon wall this year.
That's going to go on my OnlyFans channel.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
If you say so. I don't know. I think we might be able to squeeze two out.
Smash the like button. Let's go.
Squeeze two out. Yeah, Fabs 5000 is here. Fabs. Fabs trolling trolling Polinha.
Fabs, kind of Fabs.
He trolling Polinha.
Was he trolling nice. Polinha?
He was trolling Polinha. He was pitch side. Polinha comes... Pelini comes out to, I'm pretty sure it's Fabs, unless it was another Fabs. Fabs, was that you? Confirm, please.
Fabs was what he told Pelini, Sporting Ilvana's loan, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're talking about the same guy, Fabs. The only Fabs I know.
There's a lot
Fabs
of
Fabs 5000. It's like Andre 3000. He got Fabs 5000.
Wow, if it was Fabs indeed, I mean, credit to him. God bless.
Yeah, Fabs, give us a confirm that. Make sure that I'm not mixing things. That's it. He says it's me.
It's him.
Wonderful.
The guy is at Old Trafford one night, and the next night listening to us on the podcast. Talk about
Old Trafford. Why would he be at Old Trafford?
I don't know. Where the hell did a Fulham play this weekend?
Raven.
Craven Cottage.
É a mesma coisa, tá bem. Dá lá ao lado.
É a mesma coisa.
Closer to there than it is to here, so.
It is. That's yeah. true. That's true.
Talk about highs and lows. Coitadinho.
Yeah, no.
Procurar a gente.
No, yeah, usually we tend to delay the start a little bit, make sure that everybody gets in, make sure nobody's missing out. Let me tweet it out. But episode 487 is what we're up to, Christian.
We need to stop. Wow, 487 already. We need to stall a little bit more. We need to stall because it's only 9 Freddies, and it's me, my mom, my sister, my brother. That's 4 of us already.
And Cindy.
And you, Cindy, the Fabs. That's, I mean, come on. We need to get a couple more Freddies in here. But nonetheless, man, listen. The season is winding down. It's been a season, as I spoke about Fabs being at Cayman, whatever, cottage, whatever, and now talking to highs and lows. Very similar to our season. A lot of highs and lows, but nonetheless, it's coming down to the end. We had a very interesting match this past weekend at Alvalade. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get into a lot of that. I mean, we're just trying to stall, ladies and gentlemen. Trying to stall.
But yeah, no. we're waiting for Chico Marcelino to get in here. Once Chico Marcelino is in, we're ready to go.
Now we got the sneak. This is my boy. By the way, if you guys listen, for those of you listening, whether you're listening live, whether you're listening today, tomorrow, next week, whenever the hell it is that you're listening, we appreciate it, by the way. But if you love sneakers and you're a big sneakerhead, you need to follow Sneaker Shouts on Twitter, Instagram. My man puts out the links for all the latest gear that comes out. He puts it out ahead. So if you're looking to get the cool stuff and, you know, you can't wait to get them, obviously they're very limited. Puts out the link. He gets you to go in. All the information. This is a must follow. Due to this guy, I've spent about $2,000 over the last 4 months.
$2,000?
Yeah, I spent a lot. I don't even post.
Non digas isso a ninguém, pa.
I spent a lot.
$2,000 on sneakers?
A lot of sneakers.
It's easy to do. It's easy to do.
I mean, you're looking at two something a pop.
When you're a baller like Cristiano.
Nah, but you know what the crazy thing is, Alfredo? You've been to my house. I buy them, I get them, and I leave them in a box. I don't even wear them. I don't even know why.
That's the truth.
I'm crazy.
That happens to a lot of things you buy. You bought that Peloton?
The Peloton. Wait. I think Cindy heard what I heard, too. Cindy Soldier said, Penal Po Porto. I heard something falling. That might have been Cindy and I might have heard the same thing.
Yeah. No, I remember you were all excited. Look, I bought the Peloton.
Bro, I bought
and
the
then
Peloton.
You had the shoes to go along with the penalty.
Bought the red
with the Peloton.
And then I got
the padded shorts. Did you get the padded shorts?
Shorts with the padding on the buttock, because that hurts until you get accustomed to it. And then I don't even think I ever sat on it. But yeah, I have it if I need it.
I remember you showing me the video of some road in Algarve. So you guys are familiar with the Peloton. You get on a Peloton and it's almost like you're on the road. On an actual road with the up, you know, with the uphills and the downhills and the turns, so on. I remember you showing me that, but I don't remember ever seeing you on it.
No, I was just showing the video because it's got a cool screen on it. So I thought it was I thought it was imperative that I showed you the screen. You know, I bought the bike for the screen. But yeah, one day I'm gonna make you dad the treadmill, the elliptical. You seen my video.
The old style Matrecus table, that's sitting table. In the corner too.
Kind of sucks because you can't play it by yourself. But yeah, I have it. You know, if I ever have friends, you know, I have this great belief that one day I'll have friends. And when I have friends, they'll come over. Somebody ride a bike, run a treadmill, elliptical, while you're the ones playing Matrex. And they got the couch, the big TV, PlayStation. You know what I mean? We could just have a ball.
Shen, if anything, you just invite people over to see your sneaker collection. I think that's attraction enough.
It's amongst all the boxes, Alfredo. It's too big. I need to get Sneaker Shouts to come over and organize. I don't know if you've ever seen his closet. He's got everything perfectly organized. This is a must follow if you're a sneakerhead. So I might have to get this guy to come down here from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, that's where he is?
From Rhode Island, yes, sir.
The sneaker capital of the world. From Rhode Island. Many Veladones here. Welcome. Yeah, Johnny C, I'm with you, man. I try to, you know, find those cheap sneakers that are going to give me, they're going to last me for a little bit. I'm not about the looks. I'm about the comfort.
Alfredo, I bought a pair of Breds for like $240.
I don't know what those are.
Jordans for like $240 or something like that.
Why do they call them Breds?
I have no idea. You got to ask Sneaker Shop. He'll tell you. I have no idea. They call them Breds. They're like the Retro 4s or whatever it is. I spent like 240 on him, I believe. And now I got like people offering me $600-700 for him.
That's and a I'm good like, deal.
No, I'm not selling.
Oh, you're not selling?
No, because I might want to wear them one day.
I know guys that are talking about selling and making a lot of money. I know guys that are selling tickets to the Santa Clara game this weekend, making a lot of dough.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Anyway, yeah, let's get going.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, they should. I mean, you're talking about it once in a lifetime. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's a game where Benfica could, not could, but they should. They should clinch 38. Obviously, Benfica's gone 4 years without winning a title. So it's important. It's going to be one of those magical nights if Benfica handles their business. At the Estadio de Luz, Alfredo, you're going to be talking about, if you're president, you're going to be talking about this night for the rest of your life.
Without a doubt. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Sneaker Shot says bread equals black and red. So bread.
There you go.
See, I thought it was like bread, like bone. B-R-E-A-D, bread. It's just bread. Bread. There's no A. Dave, you're on things in Canada, no, Dave? I mean, you guys up there, you guys wear these with them big, with the big rackets on the bottom, so you walk in the snow, right? Something like that with
the snowshoes,
the tennis rackets, the tennis rackets at the bottom, so you don't sink.
Oh yeah, we got to get a sneaker show for the snowshoes up here.
I think I thought it was something fancy like the Yeezys. They got these numbers, the model, and that's what I thought it was. Brett, I thought it was code for a specific model, but that black and red, that makes a lot of sense.
I just learned something new.
There you go. Anyway, let's get going. Tonight, we will recap the Sporting game, obviously, and we'll look ahead to the final game of the season, a game in which Benfica will have the opportunity to get their 38th national Portuguese title. How does that sound? That sounds great, right? We've been hearing about Benfica, Damu 38 for a while now. Maybe this time will be the time. Hopefully.
It's been a while.
Sporting. Benfica traveled just a short distance across the Segunda Circular to play Sporting. I'll give you the lineup. Flaco Dimas is in goal. Auschwitz is right back. Silva, Otamendi, and Grimaldo as a left back. Chiquinho and Neves. João Mário, Neres, Rafa, and Ramos. Nothing here too surprising from what we've been seeing in the past weeks. And let's talk about Benfica's start. Not the best start, not the start we're used to. Cristiano, do you think that Benfica respected Sporting too much? Do you think that Benfica was caught out a little bit in terms of what the Sporting strategy was? What do you think? What do you attribute Benfica's slow start and not so great first half to?
You might not like my answer. So
no, I always answer like your
first.
Answers.
I don't know if you want to ask Dave first, because my answer might not be what.
Vai lá, diz lá.
Well, what I think is that it's about toco mesmo virou disco. You know what I mean? It's week after week. It's the same exact thing, same exact lineup. Roger Schmidt has not made any changes. In the opposition, I mean, there is such thing as called, you know, a coach on the other side, or in this case, on the other side of the half, but, you know, now they're on the same sideline. You know what I'm trying to say? There is a coach that's preparing to come against you and watching video and trying to see where your strengths and weaknesses are. And I think everyone at this point is pretty much aware of what exactly Benfica is good at and what they're not at, what they're not very good at. And I think the opposition has figured out Roger Schmidt and his scheme. And you know, we haven't really adapted, right? Roger Schmidt doesn't make – he says it himself. We don't make – in-game, not in-game, but we don't change our tactics game to game. We do not change our tactics because of who we play against. We stick to our style of play, no matter who's coming, you know, coming into our house, or no matter who we're visiting. And you just see other teams adapting, and they figured us out. And it's a little bit irritating, to be brutally honest with you, at this point of the season. But with two games remaining, it is what it is, man. Just like I mentioned last week on the podcast when it was just you and I, Alfredo, I kept saying it over and over and over again. At this point, man, it's too late to really come in here and bitch and complain about everything. We just hope that he gets the boys over the finish line and it's enough to get Benfica, you know, número 38. But it was kind of sad and at the same time irritating to watch that first half because we're so predictable. We know exactly what these guys are going to do. And you know, at this point, I don't even know what else to say, Alfredo. to be brutally honest.
Yeah. And Dave, I had mentioned here to Cristiano last week about how Amorim sets up well. We've seen Amorim set up well in Europe against some of the opposition that we've seen there. But really, Sporting took a page out of Porto's book, right? Pressure Benfica. Don't let Benfica's midfield get anything going. And again, it's like Cristiano says, we look surprised almost. It's like there's a team on the other side, but yet we can't prepare for what we may face from the other team in the first half.
Teams have figured us out, understanding that we want to come out of the back plane, but at the same time, we apply tons of pressure. We started this game applying pressure, if you recall the beginning of the game. We were doing a good job, but at the same time, they had a goalie that could play with his feet and alleviate. He was always able to find the open man. And they've realized that Benfica does not have that luxury and that Benfica has trouble coming out of the back. So they apply pressure, and it just stifles us, and it just seems like there are no
Dave, what are your thoughts? Because the question was for you.
Oh.
No, no worries. I just thought Benfica came out flat-footed. They didn't match that intensity level that we saw the previous week in Portimão. And sure, we have a much tougher opposition. And like you're saying, Sporting never gave us that opportunity to build any plays from the backfield. But this team, especially in the first half, just looked like they came not to lose. They weren't doing anything to win. They came not to lose at the Avalada, and I think they were happy to try to squeak one away, or if they could break on the counter attack. I don't know what they were trying to think, what their plan was in the first half, but it definitely was not the Benfica that we've been used to seeing here. In terms of high pressure and high intensity to go to and create chances, but that team in the first half looked like a team that was just trying to do the bare minimum just to get a result. I don't even know what result they were trying to get, because if they were looking to score on the counter, okay, but they weren't even able to do that in the first half.
Yeah, and look, I think Benfica's midfield was overrun. João Mário, Rafa, and Ramos continue to be on that low of form, if you will. And I think that when you don't have those guys that have been key players during the season making a difference or providing something different, alleviating the pressure in the midfield, then you're going to be in trouble. We had that Porto miss right in the beginning that reminded me of that Ruiz miss.
Ruiz was worse
because he got a foot on it, right?
He got the inside of the foot on it.
And he was facing the goal. He's lefty. I mean, that was just a tap in, and my man just, so Ruiz was worse.
And we had the Rafa header right after that, which Rafa couldn't get up and got under the ball. Yeah, he got under the ball, didn't really get all of the ball and just went over. Then you get the Zgaio close range shot, which Vlaco Dimos did well to parry it away. But really, everything that Sporting was doing and the way they were playing, it was predictable that sooner or later they were going to get on the board, and they did in the 39th minute. A mistake by Antonio Silva, got a foot on the ball but didn't get all of it. Sporting was able to recover. Trincão was able to recover the ball. Vlaco Dimos had a close range shot. He parried the ball, but the ball got loose, and then Trincão just went around him and scored. And look, I don't think anybody watching the game was surprised by Sporting's goal, because Sporting had the upper hand on Benfica for most of that half. And then in the 44th minute,
I was surprised though. Go ahead. I was surprised. I understand Porto, Jesus Christ, Sporting were the better team in the first half, but when you initially see that ball, I believe it was from Nuno Santos, into the box. I mean, look, we have to be honest. I expected Antonio Silva to clear that. He got his foot on the ball. That was just a miscue on him. You know, we've seen better from this kid. He's not been the same player in the second half of the season. Maybe that's due to fatigue. Let's not forget the kid just turned 19 years old not too long ago. So this is, you know, totally new to him, fatigue, the pressure. you know, and mistakes happen to veterans, and so let alone youngsters like him. But let's be fair, Antonio Silva should have done better with that clearance.
He does. Yeah. No, I agree.
What's his name? What's the dude's name that scored? What's his
Trinco?
Name? Trinco never gets to that ball. He shoots the ball, quick reaction, shoots it on Blanco Dimas. I understand. Look, maybe Blanco Dimas could have done better. Maybe he could. I think it was a quick reflex. Man just went down on his knee, got the ball.
Yeah.
I know some people are calling for him to grab it. And you know me, man. I've been a, you know, I don't want to call it a critic, but I've not been a guy that's been a huge Vlaco Dimos fan over the last couple of seasons, as we all know, listening here on the podcast, all you guys are aware of that. But I think it's a little bit unfair. The dude, it was a quick reaction. He just, you know, he got his body in the way. And then Trincão got the rebound and
yeah,
he tucks it away. But I just thought that Benfica, again, it's those, what we call it in tennis, Dave, the unforced errors. I thought that was an unforced error by Antonio Silva that clearly gave these guys a scoring opportunity. And not that Benfica was playing well, not that Sporting were not the better team at that point, which they absolutely were. But again, I thought that was a gift by Benfica in their defense.
Yeah, and to add insult to injury, in the 44th minute, Sporting would get the second goal, this time off a set piece, and Grimaldo was beaten. Let me ask you a question. How does a guy like Grimaldo end up marking one of the biggest player, the big Sporting players?
Yes, give me a day.
Yeah, any of you guys could answer.
Miscommunication.
Yeah.
It has to be miscommunication.
But, it's like...
Roger Schmidt, we could call Roger Schmidt stubborn until the cows come home. But not even Roger Schmidt's stubborn ass is going to draw a play where 5'4" Grimaldo is going to defend one of the center backs. That has to be pure communication, but miscommunication by everybody.
During the week, as you're watching film and you're watching set pieces, there has to be guys that are assigned to look for these guys, right? Whether it's Coates, whether it's another center back, you look for center backs because these are the guys that can get up in the air that can hurt you. So there has to be, as you mentioned, maybe some miscommunication how Grimaldo ends up marking, or even, I don't know if he was playing in a zone or what he was, but he got beat, and I don't think Vlaco Dimas could do much about that.
I'm rewatching it here. Yeah, there's no. The only other closest player is Arshness, but he's not tall enough to guard that guy either. So there's definitely some sort of breakdown.
And Grimaldo was going backwards too, so it's kind of hard to jump as high as you can going backwards as well. But nonetheless, he was going to get beat there regardless.
Yeah, let me ask you guys this: how were you guys feeling at the half? Benfica not playing well, Sporting up 2-0. Were you guys convinced that, okay, well, this is going to be for the birds, we're going to win it next Sunday? Or did you think that Benfica could come back and maybe show something? I was with you. We watched the game together, even though we weren't paying that much attention to the game at the time. But going into the half, Benfica not, as I mentioned, Benfica not playing well, down 2-0. Second half, man, we would hope that we'd have one of those Rui Vitórias second half.
I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking. I was agradecer a todos os deuses neste mundo that we had another game left at the Estádio da Luz coming up and that the title was still under our control. Honest to God, I mean, because until that point, nothing led you to believe that Benfica was going to turn things around in the second half. And they didn't. They even took a while, and it wasn't until Roger Schmidt made some crucial changes. Yeah. Changes that we've all called for going for over 2 months now. Three guys that, yes, they had a huge part in getting Benfica to that 10-point lead. And we should not forget that, okay?
Yeah.
They've been, you know, catalysts for most of the season. But the fact of the matter is that they've not been good. They have not been as consistent. I don't know if it's fatigue, call it what it is, the pressure. I call it players just coming crashing right back down to earth to exactly the players that we all expected to be who they are. They're showing who they exactly are. I think what they were doing before was Rafa, not so much, because Rafa obviously goes through these highs and lows, but the other two in particular, I think they were having the best season of their careers. You know what I mean? João Mário scored more goals this year than he's done in the last 10 combined. So, I mean, that doesn't show anything. I don't know what does. But nonetheless, Roger Schmidt took a while to realize, or if he did, he's just being stoned as hell. But he finally realized that he had to make a change, get these guys off the pitch, because if you're bringing in the bodies that he brought in, even if that, if they're not playing well, they're putting in the shift. They're putting in the effort.
Yeah.
They're moving around, getting into situations, into positions that where they could cause danger. And that's exactly what happened. That's changed the game, was really those substitutions. Bringing in Musa, a player that stretched the field, a player to put pressure on the opposition center backs and allow Benfica time and space in order to push up. That was the change in the game. And it took him a while to do it. And you know I'm not – you know, you guys know I'm not a Musa guy. But the guy
gotta be a
change of pace.
I got to be honest. I think that I was surprised, as everyone else, that his first substitution was João Mário. So Ba went to the right back, and Auschnes, went to João Mário's position, which I feel that's – no, actually, Auschnes came to the left and Neres went to the right, which is actually the spot where Neres feels most comfortable in. And right away, we started seeing a lot more. I thought that both Chiquinho and João Neves were caught in possession quite a bit in the first half. In the second half, they were releasing the ball a lot quicker. But yeah, I mean, it was the substitutions. Like you said, the 66-minute Musa for Ramos, Guedes for Rafa. And it was, you get a shot of those guys on the bench, and I'm thinking, man, I thought I'd never see this. But it, like you said, Cristiano, we've been clamoring for that, for those guys to get some bench time for quite a few weeks now, if
and
not
we've
months.
We've gone into our biggest games of the season down the stretch against Porto, Braga, even though we manhandled Braga, but you know, it's a relatively easy game, a lot easier than we all expected. And now Sporting, we've gone into these three games with a two-man midfield when we very well know that the strength of the opposition is that three-man midfield. And if Rodgers not realized that we need to – I get it. I want to have Neres on the field as much as I can. I like to have Rafa on the field as much as I can. João Mário, when he's on his game – but the fact is that these guys have not played well. Sometimes you need to leave them on the bench, let it spark lightly, you know, like something up on their ass to get these guys – to perform at the level that we all expect, but bring in another body into the midfield, and that's what changed the game. When João Mário leave the game, you bring in Alexander Ba to play right back, and now it frees up Arsenis to come into the midfield. Now we finally got ourselves a quote-unquote pitbull to battle the oppositions, and Ugarte and those guys, a box-to-box guy that's going to put in the effort, be all over the field, challenging for every ball. That's what changed the game. Roger Schmidt has to understand. Now it's one game left. I mean, yada, yada, yada. Let's lift to the 38. But at the end of the day, Roger Schmidt has to go into the offseason and look at himself in the mirror and realize that, okay, look, I got away with this one. But I need to, especially in these big games. It's one thing playing with two little guys. I mean, call it what you want. Fantastic, João Neves, I'm sold, whatever. But two little-ass guys and Chiquinho and João Neves that give you no presence, physicality, none of that like that. Against other teams, monsters that are up and down, straight pit bulls. You're going to lose that battle 10 out of 10 times.
But yeah. I think that just speaks to the team's overall depth too, right? We knock on wood, we got one game left here to go. But I think if we still had another five or six, it'd be a little bit more concerning here, especially with the lack of depth in some of these positions. So I hope this is first year in Roger. We got to also think that this is first year of the Roger plan or the Roger Schmidt era here, right? So we're one game away from becoming champions, which is ultimately an achievement at the end of the day. If you would have told us at the beginning of the year that we'd be champions, it would be an achieved on that mark. But I think they have to go into the offseason prepared to spend some money and build on this depth, because I don't think they can get away with it 2 years in a row, especially if they're thinking they're coming back with all these same guys here. But they definitely need to go and spend some money to shore up some depth in these positions here, or else we're really just getting by the skin of our teeth here. We're crawling over the finish line, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. But
you guys know, Dave, throughout the season, we've come on here and we've said, look, Tino's spectacular at one part of the game, but he lacks in another part of the game, right? And in the games against Tamancos, game that Benfica understands and knows that everybody's going to sit back and we need to penetrate and break lines, right? You might be better off sitting Tino. But a game like this, of this magnitude, with the players that Sporting has, Tino has to be on the field. That's a miscalculation by Roger Schmidt. Tino absolutely has to be, because we need some physicality in the middle of the park. And he's the only guy, aside from Marsness, but Arsenal is not really that type of player. Tino is more of a guy that's going to challenge for every ball. He's supposed to be our Feja, right? And we playing with two guys that, to put it lightly, are center mids. They're not defensive center mids. They're not attacking center mids. They're just center mids. Guys were supposed to – their strength is supposed to be with the ball at their feet. And God bless little Jon Snow. My man is out there, you know, hard on his sleeve, and he's challenging guys that are 3 feet taller than him, it seems. He looks like a 12-year-old, and my man brings it. But bringing it and having that physicality in games of this magnitude is two different things. And I just think, again, in a game against, like, Santa Clara at home, I can totally understand Benfica sitting Patino for a Chiquinho in a Neves tandem. And it's because Benfica's going to have the ball. Benfica's going to have the ball 85% of the time. But now in a game like we're doing on the road, it just made no sense. And I'm not going to play the morning quarterback stuff because it's a lot easier to talk about afterwards. You know how I feel. I've said this over and over. It's been 10 years that we're doing podcasts. You know exactly how I feel. I just didn't understand that by Roger Schmidt.
Yeah, just getting back to the Rafa, Jomari, and Ramos. Nick Valadão makes a great point. He says Rafa, Jomari, and Ramos were a huge part of getting the 10-point lead, but they were also part of the reason why we only lead by 2 points currently. Yeah, that's a valid point.
The comments, by the way. Read some of the comments from the Fred, because they're phenomenal, man. They join us here every week. And
yeah, SLBE, yes, this team doesn't believe in itself. They should have beaten Inter and been in a CL champ, the final. They're not living up to their full potential. I agree. I mean, I think that this team is crawling across the finish line. I think that if you have another 5 games left, I don't know if this team makes it. I really don't.
Delta Tosca, whatever, says, I think Roger will be a coach to win against weak sides most of the time because they don't have the talent to counter our game plan. But against these sides next year will be hard. I mean, look, it's premature right now because we don't know what type of investment Benfica is going to do. I mean, they could get a bunch of cracks and all of a sudden East Monks by Passari La Piora, Benfica is going to be dominating these games a little bit more. But yes, I understand. Like, at least this year, he's shown that in these decent games against harder competition that, yes, he's not made the right, at least, judgments. Nick Valadão's blueprint is out on Arias. High pressure.
Yeah.
Force the ball back to the goalkeeper who isn't good with his feet. Cindy Souza says Adi has to go. Aussie Benfica. Yeah, we love our fans. Players don't feel Benfica like fans. Porto does not want to lose at the lose. Sporting didn't want Benfica celebrating up a lot. Always our attitude costs.
Yeah.
I mean, something we've talked about over
instead of us pushing ourselves, our style, our personality, our DNA on these teams, it's they that do that.
Carlos, I thought they'd come back. I guess that was answering your question when you're asking if we had any belief at halftime that Benfica would have come. Carlos is always, you know, he's the glass half full type of guy. Carlos is Mr. Positivity. Carlos Amado says, I thought they'd come back. These games have always been weird. He's right. I mean, we say it all the time. Form and all that stuff in these rivalry games, it all goes thrown out the window. Like, we expect this totally opposite of anything you expect from these games. So, Tatiana P.
Yeah.
Well, I was today in the Estadio de Luz, and tickets are almost all gone. So this is crazy.
I think they might be gone.
É o jogo do título, pá. Agora vamos assistir a todos.
This is the hottest ticket in town this weekend. Forget Coldplay. this is the game. This is the event to be at.
Bro,
I know people out there are selling it for tickets for a good penny.
This week, vamos levar todos os camisolas ou cleaners to get the cobwebs out. Everybody's coming out today. This weekend, Saturday.
No, man, those shirts are out. But look, just getting back to the game, but yeah, a much different Benfica in the second half. And part of it, look, Benfica never plays by themselves, right? There's always a team on the other side. And a lot of it was Sporting. It was impossible that Sporting was going to be able to keep up the pressure in the way that they did in the first half, in the second half. So they're winning 2-0 also. So they don't need to press. They just need to wait for Benfica. And I think that Benfica took advantage of it. Musa coming in. I think the first time Musa touched the ball, he almost scored a goal. He took off from the halfway line. He almost scored a goal on a good shot. But
and that was by the way.
It was a corner. Yeah. Got called a goal kick.
He got his fingertip on it. He got his fingertip.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's another guy that we've been clamoring for to get playing time. But here's the thing, and now I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but the last game, he's definitely not sitting Ramos because Ramos is still in a fight for the Pichichi.
Yeah, what's he back? But he's not going to get it now. Yeah, I think it's 21-18. So
21-17, right? Or is it 18? Okay,
he's got 18.
21-18, yeah. But he doesn't
score.
You know,
Taremi's going to score at least 9 penalties, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. 9 goals at least. 9
penalties.
Taremi.
At least. All replays, penalties, replays of penalties.
Yeah. But it's 2-1 by Auschwitz in a play that was after a PK that was missed. But thankfully, Auschwitz was able to put that away on a follow up. Yeah, I would call it a penalty. Dave, yeah, he goes for the man.
If you think there was sufficient contact there to call that a penalty on that
was previous... that was the Nuno Sancho on ball, right, where he's got a
no. The Auschwitz before the goal.
Auschwitz goes in, he misses it, and gets up from the floor. Then he gets to the end of another cross and headers it with his shoulder.
I gotta take a look at that. The thing is, shocker here. We don't see too many replays of that foul. It looks like it's shoulder to shoulder, if I'm not mistaken. But I haven't seen too many.
Take a look again, Dave. The thing that I wanted to mention is that Auschwitz, instead of staying on the ground complaining with his arms up and to the referee, he gets up and he follows up and he ends up getting a goal.
But he did, Alfredo. He stayed on the ground and he realized.
He got up and
Shit, let's go. Yeah, like that.
He got up and he played. I was glad that we were able to get the tie at least. At least it was the worst. It wasn't the worst thing that could have happened to us, but really, I mean, if you have to choose between a loss and a tie, I'd rather take the tie any day. Even though either one would have been, I don't think it would have mattered as long as Benfica wins this last game, obviously. But yeah, I would have liked to have come out of there with the win. And celebrating the title. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. But I think that the goal and the time, the second goal at the time that it came, it shows a lot about this team, the resiliency of the team. The team was down 2-0 and really didn't bury the head in the sand. They just came out and played, and they believed in themselves, and they ended up getting the result, which wasn't the win, but it was still a good result. So you know, much better Benfica in the second half, but you know, we continue to see Rodgers struggling against the big teams, and I think that if there's something that he takes out of this season is learning how to play big teams, especially Porto, especially Sporting. These are games that are not your typical games. They're not your typical monks. And you have to be ready. You have to have a plan B. We've talked about Roger only having one plan. He doesn't have a plan B. And oftentimes, guys outcoach him because he doesn't have a plan B and he makes the moves too late. Thankfully, everything worked out well. We ended up getting that second goal by João Neves on an insistent play.
That was a great save by Israel. That first shot that Neves took, that was a great reflex. And then Neves, credit to him, stayed on it quick on the rebound, and obviously gets Benfica the draw. And it's a lot of controversy regarding that whole Tino. Was he offside? Was he not? Yes, he was. I mean, Ross, he's offside again. If you understand,
but he's not an active part of the play.
Yeah, the ball, all of us nowadays, if you don't, this is not the old school days where you're offside, it doesn't matter. You go, now, unless you're involved in the play, if the ball, you make an effort on the ball, or anything of that sort, you're no longer called offsides. He only gets involved in the play once Musa headers back, and now he's in play once Musa touches it. And so,
Kowat shouldn't have flopped. That's he should have remained playing.
I was just
going
to say, you see the opposite of the harshness on that play, where right. Kowat is still on the floor 10, 15, 20 seconds after the initial play. And I'm sure if he gets up, who knows? We probably don't score that goal because that's an additional body that's defending and getting in front of the ball there. But I don't know what he's staying down for. If the ref hasn't called it 5 seconds ago, you think he's going to go back and call it another 5 seconds?
What they were hoping was there were VAR review days. That's what they were trying to make their point, is to go to VAR and have VAR call it back.
It was an active play. He wasn't involved. Tino wasn't an active. It wasn't part of the active play, I should say. Then Coates bangs against him, goes down on the ground.
Bangs insinuates that there was a huge shock in between the. Come on, that was like a scrape. I couldn't knock my little son.
I mean, we're talking about one of the biggest guys on the field against a little scrawny kid.
Yeah, for sure. That was, look, fissa falta in Ukraine.
Yeah, for sure.
But look, I would say, son, on Roger Schmidt, Hugo and I, as you know, we go back and forth on these things. And Hugo actually brought it up. Good point by him. He said, man, there's a lot of Jorge Jesus and Roger Schmidt. And he said, how come? He's like, bro, we dominate the minutes. Aquí la chapada por todo lado. And then in these big games, our team disappears. We play David Luiz at left back. Here we play Arsenal at right back. in some extent, they're both stubborn as hell. The only difference between the two of them is one could speak and the other one can't. But I understand the similarities. I understand the similarities between the two. Their insistence on playing their system the way they believe, the way they want. No matter how many people tell them it's wrong and how many people tell them that your players aren't playing well, he's going to stick to it. He's going to invent. The team's going to play well against the Mancos and struggle against the big opposition. You see him even now in Turkey. He's doing the same thing. Playing the big teams, he's got a losing record. Playing against everybody else, he's got a winning record, obviously. So,
yeah.
I don't want to be here spending too much. I hope we're not back here again next year and make these comparisons. But I think that the whole, the shine on Roger Schmidt has kind of worn off as the season's gone along. And I'm not willing to bring him back, but there's definitely signs there to be concerned.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt just because the depth isn't there. So I'm willing to see what we can do with another offseason and what investment we can bring into this team. But the stubbornness to feel the same. It's basically, did you win last week? Yeah, okay, then we're keeping the same 11. Doesn't matter what how we won last week, we're keeping the same 11 if everybody is still healthy to play this week. Because we've been talking about having João Mário sit, Rafa sit, Ramos sit here for God knows how many weeks. And I'm not expecting it now to change with one game left against Santa Clara at home in the potential title clinching game. But God knows we've needed some changes to this starting 11. And whether or not we have the depth is another question. But I'm willing to give Roger the benefit of the doubt here with another offseason and hopefully an offseason where we're investing into the squad. And hopefully at that point, he has some more options off the bench where he can rotate his squad. And maybe this is a good reminder and a wake up for him too, that he can't play the same lineup for 34 match legs in a row and expect the same intensity and same results week in and week out.
I don't know, Dave. I don't know. If you listen to anybody from the club, Domingo Suarez Oliveira, the CEO, the vice president, everybody. If you listen to anybody with a voice at the club, everybody, all they want to get you to believe and sell you is that Benfica needs to sell players all the time. We need to sell players all the time. That's all everybody wants to tell you. We make shitload of money through Champions League and selling players, but yet somehow we still need to sell more players. And it's just like...
And you got the empréstimo obrigacionista.
That shit, I don't know what the hell that means. So,
Cristiano, what that means is that
like to me,
Benfica will allow you. Okay, I'll explain it to you, Cristiano. Benfica will open up to the fans for the fans to buy these titles, right? Okay. So they invest in a club, and at the end of a whatever period it is, though, that investment comes back from Benfica with interest, right? So let's say you put $5,000, you buy $5,000 worth of titles right now, and Benfica's goal was to raise 50 million.
How come I didn't get that notice? I'm a Benfica, I'm a sócio. My quota's up to date. How come I didn't get that notice?
The clubs, it opens it up. So you go in there and you buy 5,000, right? And you got a, I don't know what the interest rate is, maybe 5 point something or whatever. And at the end of the maturity of this period, Benfica has to pay back or return the money with interest to the fans that invested or bought this title.
It sounds like a savings bond.
That's what it is.
But isn't that, unless you're Sporting, isn't that what loans are? You have to pay them back? You have to pay back all loans unless you're Sporting.
Yeah. Yeah, but the idea is that they're raising capital that they don't have right now.
Instead of
where's the money all this is all to say where's the money gone? Where's the Enzo Fernandez game? Why do you need to have a 50 million empréstimo obrigacionista? If you made a lot of coin from the Champions League, you made a lot of coin for Enzo. What's the need?
I made the math. I did the math a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. So you were up to 90 on Darwin, right? You sold for 120 after paying off River. That's another 90. That's 180. You made 71 last year that we lost to Liverpool, right, in the Champions League. You made another 73 this year. That's another 140 plus 180. Make the math. Where's the money going?
Yeah.
Where's all this? Why is that we got to get these crazy loans? Why is it that we got to sell players? I mean, where's the money really going? I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're paying off some kind of Luis Felipe debt that he left. I don't know. Look, in the beginning of the season, I have to say that my expectations for Roger Schmidt was just for him to come in, change the mentality of the team, change some things around. Have a competitive team. I have to say, if he wins the title, he has superseded my expectations. Obviously, as a Benfiquista, you always hope that you win the title, but you have to be realistic, right? You got a foreign coach. You got a lot of new players, right? Your squad isn't as depth as you would hope to be, especially in certain positions. And then you got Diogo Gonçalves. You got Chiquinho. You got your brother there from Gafanha, Gil Dias, and you got a few players that you feel that don't fit in this team. And when those players leave, there's a gap in there. You can't fill them in. João Neves was a great surprise. He came out of nowhere, but he's only really made his mark in this final month of the season. He's only been a starter for 4 games, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole thing is that, to me, I felt that I just wanted the team to be competitive, and I wanted a little bit of a change in terms of the mentality of the team. We haven't seen the change, especially against Porto, but we saw the team play attractive football for a good period of time, especially up until the World Cup and then Enzo leaving. Enzo was a huge loss. We weren't able to backfill that position with the quality we expected. But I think at the end of the day, if you look at Roger Schmidt's, if you do a balance of Roger Schmidt's season, I would say that it's a good season. Obviously, I would like for him to win the championship. That's even better. But at the end of the day, he leaves, like Portuguese like to say, deixa-me com água na boca for next season. And I hope that he's learning a lot of lessons from this year in terms of how the media approach him, the questions that the media asks, you know, how the media portrays Benfica, how in certain fields and certain referees, weird things happen. I hope that he's taken a lot of lessons. There's good coaching in Portugal, despite a lot of teams being very weak. There's coaches out there that are coaching weaker teams that know how to set up their teams with the human resources that they have. So I think that the biggest thing that Roger Schmidt needs to take away from this season is learn from all the hiccups that he had and the mistakes that he had. let's hope that Rui Costa and Pedro Braz are able to reinforce the squad.
Coelho, bro. Coelho's the man. Everybody talks about Braz. Coelho's the one.
Braz is the fucking guy that shows up at the airport,
bro. He drives the Uber, bro.
Coelho. He drives the Uber.
But listen, the good news is here. You know what the good news is, right, guys? Is that Benfica's playing my favorite team from Masoura next week. Or next week. In a couple of days, I should say. I love the sword. I love Santa Clara. You know,
there's a mentiroso,
in the world. But, you know, we're playing Benfica B, and a team that's been relegated at the start of the lose, a fired up start of the lose with the title on the line, has everything for, you know, written in the stars for one of those magical nights at the start of the lose, and then from there to the Marques Pombal. And I believe the boys will get this across the line. We will have more time here on the Benfica podcast in the next couple of weeks to talk about a lot of these things these worries that we've really been trying to talk about lately. But I think right now, Alfredo, let's focus on the positives. We'll do a lot of those mancos, keep, sell, buy, loan, puro polado, all that conversation in the next couple of weeks. But I think the boys now have to flip the page.
Yeah.
What's happened in the past happened in the past. They are one game away. Okay. At worst comes to worst, draw away. Obviously, we want the 3 points, and I believe Benfica will get the 3 points, at least 4-0. Let's try to lose on Saturday. And let's focus on that. The boys will be ready. Roger Schmidt will have the boys ready. Again, if you're not going to be up for a game like this with the title at the line, 65,000 screaming fans, that's style of the lose. Bro, I don't ever want to see you in a Benfica jersey again. I don't even want to see you in a Benfica picture in the future. I don't want to see a picture of you if you can't get up for a game like this.
Dave, stats on this game so we can move on.
Yeah, quick stat here. Joan Neves was the youngest Benfica player to start in the derby since Renato Sanches in 2015-2016 season. He also scored his first goal with the senior side, and he was the fourth youngest Benfica player to score against Sporting at 18 years, 8 months old.
Yeah, let me read a couple comments here before we move on. Aussie Benfica says, in the famous pic of Pep punching Coates, we don't see Coates flopping, and there is a lot more contact than that. Yeah, that's for sure. Johnny C says, I agree with Dave. I think losing Enzo and the lack of depth has become more apparent as the season progressed. Deitashka says, we can't blame depth when we lose against Chaves. Fair point. Eric, system works when you have Enzo, who does everything. Doesn't work with Chiquinho. Yeah, another one.
Johnny C also makes another great point, Alfredo. He says, the tie, he's talking about Sporting, right? The tie was huge because Santa Clara has to win for us to lose the title now. Unless Porto goes on this magical 15-0 victory and Benfica ties Santa Clara 2-2 all of a sudden. That type of stuff, right? They'd have to win. That's the only way Benfica loses title. So that's a great point.
Let's not even get to that point, please. If we're tying against Santa Clara in a game that means nothing to them, we don't deserve to be champions. Win, yeah. And that's all.
Fabs is saying that the money has gone to the Tremosas and the Minis for the Sueca Modalidade. Aussie Benfica says money probably going to DJ Kamala.
He's going to get the crowd hyped up on Saturday.
Team pays lower interest to investors than what banks would charge them. It's better to pay investors than the bank, says SLBEES.
Yeah, Timo's in regards to the CD, certificate of deposit, or bond.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl Zamaro says the issue of short paper is part of every operations for major institutions. It's a way of getting cash where capital is tied up. Yeah, cash flow.
Oh, this capital is like $340 million tied up.
Yeah, tied up, man.
Tied up.
Anyway, last game of the season, Santa Clara. Diogo. Yeah, Diogo showed up. Better late than never, Diogo.
There you go. We got because we know Taremi scoring 14 PKs. There you go, Diogo.
Yeah. Santa Clara happens this Saturday at 3:30. I think the league just announced the schedule for the last fixture of the season a few days ago. So hopefully all of you guys that were making plans to be in Lisbon over the weekend, I hope you didn't count on the game being on Sunday, because if you did, I am sorry. But yeah, Santa Clara has already been demoted. So really nothing to play for. But I agree with Chris, man. As a team in front of your fans, with the expectation that you need to win this title against a Santa Clara team that really doesn't have much to play for, that they're probably coming to enjoy the party. Hopefully, I'm thinking. Because you can't offer Santa Clara a mala, because Santa Clara is like a satellite team of Benfica, it's like Portimonense.
Oh, I would take it, knowing I was gonna lose anyway. Like, yeah, pas perdermos, you expect, like, it's not like, yo, I rigged it, like, I was gonna lose. Plus, I was campeões.
Yeah, what's the mala gonna be used for? To upgrade the drainage system, and when they're in the second division.
Take the money for the drainage
Dave, system. Dave, this is mal, Dave. Why you be like that?
We got it. We got to get these in, because next season we're not going to be playing them it's in the TASA. So
we're going to play.
Got to do all the upgrades now while they can.
Yeah, Noah Zorian teams in the Primeira Liga next season.
It might not even be.
Maritim just is hanging by a thread. Also, I think, right?
Yeah, they got to play Estrela, so there might be no island teams.
They got to go to the playoff.
Yeah,
they got to go to the playoff, which is a shame. Those island teams are always pleasant.
Porto is not an island. Don't they say que nós contra o mundo?
if you look at it like that, and look, there's not much to say about this game, right? I think that we're all going to be waiting this game with great expectations and hoping that we could celebrate after the 90 minutes. I think that it's been a long time coming for us Benfiquistas. It's been 4 long years, and we weren't used to going this long without a title for a while now. And I think that, you know, the season that we've had, all of the refereeing mistakes, the behavior by the Porto bench, Sérgio Conceição, that other little... whatever Chihuahua. You call that, the Chihuahua, you know, it's been a long season. I got to be honest with you. You know, I think during this off season, I got to do a little bit of some introspective thinking about, you know, whether, you know, I'll continue to follow the Portuguese league or, you know, I'll always follow Benfica. But I think that sometimes, you know, and when you're on Twitter, it's tiresome, man. It's exhausting, and mentally is not good, man. It's not good because you go on Twitter and you barely see anything that's positive. There's infighting. There's, you know, the clubismo guy. It was a penalty. It wasn't a penalty. Fomos roubados. O VAR. You know, it takes a toll on you after a while. And while sometimes Benfica losing and not playing well is also exhausting. I mean, this type of stuff where you turn on Twitter and there's nothing positive on Twitter, man. And it's just, you know, maybe I just need to leave Twitter. But, you know, I need to do some thinking on the off season in terms of, you know, what direction podcast is going to go, or even if it's worth to still have the podcast. You guys know I love doing a podcast. I love hanging out with Dave, and I love hanging out with Cristiano. But sometimes I think that for the mental sanity, I think you need a little of a break, a little bit of a reset. I hope that the off season will provide me that, and I'll be energized to come back. But I've been thinking more and more about, you know, the future of the podcast lately, just because of everything that goes on in Portuguese football. It's just not appealing. It's not attractive. You know, the shit you see week after week, it's frustrating, man. And I don't know if I need that type of negativity in my life. You know, I'm usually a very extremely positive person and always like to look at the cup half full. But it's just emotional tolling. Seeing the media, seeing the double standard when it comes to Porto, seeing, you know, everyone and their mother attacking Benfica. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just something that's kind of weighing me down a little bit, and I can't wait for the season to be over. And I hope that we lift the title at the end of the 90 minutes, as I mentioned on Saturday. So But thank you for allowing me to get that off my chest. But it's been,
I'm gonna jump off the nearest bridge, man. But hey, give me a second.
It's been, but it's been something that I've been thinking more and more these days.
We've had that
conversation. We've had this conversation. Yeah, I spoke to Dave also.
I already told you what to do. You need to listen to Manu. You need to listen to Manu.
I need to get off Twitter. That's what I need to do.
I've actually taken a break. You know, I'm a Twitter whore. That's why we love Twitter. Been on that shit, seems like, for the last quarter of my life. But yeah, you need to sometimes just take a step back and just, you know, you see this with athletes and coaches and whatever, people in professional sports and acting and all that stuff, music. You got to keep a very small circle. Forget the noise. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had a friend of mine who once asked me a very important question. I looked at him with three heads like, what are you talking about, dude? But fast forward a couple of years later, he's like, oh, shit, the dude was on. But a friend of mine asked me, a Red Bull Arena, he said to me, Cristiano, do you love football? Or do you love Benfica because of football? Do you love football because of Benfica? Something along those lines. And I said, come on, man, I love football. Come on, it's football. I followed, you know, because remember, at the time I was doing different shows and whatever. And then you fast forward, and it's like now all I really pay attention to is, in terms of soccer, it's Benfica. So I guess I love football because I love Benfica. You know what I mean? I watch Formula One. I've actually myself with doing the things because, like you said, you need – the Portuguese football is so toxic. You need to – pay attention to other things. I watch Benfica, and I know it's not a commercial for the league at all. Okay, it's not a compliment. I don't watch Portuguese football unless it's Benfica game. It could be, but the wannabe classic Porto Sport, I don't care. I don't care. I don't watch because I know what the outcome is going to be. I know by me watching these games, all I'm going to do is get irritated, and it's going to make my blood pressure up. So, bro, just it is. I watch Benfica. The game is over. I turn off because if you've noticed, I don't see this, and I could be wrong, guys. And I know the Freddies, you guys are smart people and you pay attention to football worldwide and stuff. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. But the Portuguese league, I don't see this in any other sport, in any other league. The Portuguese league, or I should say the Portuguese television media, whatever, before the game is even over, pa, por favor, fiquem atentos. We're going to talk about the lessons, polemics in the game. Like, wait, the game ain't even over. And you want to talk about polemics already. Yeah. That's all these people want to talk about is just nonsense. Yeah. Was this a penalty? Oh, dude took a deep breath. Do you think that meant that he hates the coach? Like, what? It's crazy.
That shit would never fly over here on this side of the pond here. But
and look, the biggest thing is that I pride myself in being informed and being in the know in terms of Benfica, in terms of Portuguese football, because I want to be educated when I come on a podcast and I talk about Benfica and the Portuguese league, right? But what that does is that begs me to be involved and to be up to date with everything that's going on as it comes to Portuguese football. And I think that's
great, Alfredo. Do Ray saying, Alfredo, hire an assistant for Twitter. Are you volunteering, Diogo? Because Alfredo will take you up on it. Go ahead, Alfredo. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I think that you have to be in the know and you have to be exposed to those things and you have to read those things in order to come on here and be able to talk educated about the topics that are up for discussion. So I expose myself to all that media and all the Portuguese league coverage, regardless of where it comes from. So I'm exposed to all of that. The angry vitriol, the hate, the clubismo, the dissecting of plays frame by frame, the opinions of guys on... What do you, like Stina mentioned, the guy took a deep breath. What do you think that means? What is this? What is that? What is, you know, it's the refereeing inconsistencies. It's the VAR, that VAR, and I'm all for VAR as long as it's being used well. But if you guys been following the podcast, when the VAR came along, I said the VAR is only going to be as good as the guys that are controlling it. Because at the end of the day, those guys are still going to make a decision. So I don't know. But anyway, everybody knows we need to win against Santa Clara. I hope that everyone that's listening has some kind of a plan in terms of where they're going to be. And I hope that they get out there, they put on their jersey or they put on their lucky cuecas, and go out, man. Go celebrate with another Benfiquista, man. If it's a friend that you haven't spoken to in a while, give him a call, man. Ask him if he wants to watch the game together, because I don't want to jinx it, but I think that the title won't escape us. I think it'll be very, very hard for Benfica to let slip this title at home against a Santa Clara team that has nothing to play for, against a Santa Clara team that has strong ties to Benfica historically, I should say. So look, just go out there and have fun, man, and use that moment of celebration to kind of let off some of the frustration that you've had this season with Benfica in the Portuguese league. That's my advice to you guys. I know that Benfica FM had something similar, but I think it's a perfect time to get together with friends and to really enjoy and to celebrate, because it's been a while. Anything else you guys want to say?
I remember we went through a dry spell for what, 11 years, whatever it was. So you never know, man. They're always around the corner. I mean, if one of these allegations sticks to the club, because we see Bushkas every day, God, I mean, we might, you know. So enjoy it. Enjoy the one we can, because obviously we live in the present and nothing is guaranteed.
Benfica. Timo says, I watch a lot of footy from other countries, and in Portugal seems the most toxic, but I also do not follow all those other leagues' social media as closely. Yeah, Timo, I mean, I see you. Timo's very active on Twitter, man, so you read the same things that I do, the same back and forth, the same bullshit with the league and the referees, and Proença wanted to make the league more appealing, and it's just
Garbage. Alfred, epa, não é para estar a falar nisto on air, but, you know, I disagree with you a little bit. Because you say, you know, you come on here, you want to be informed. Right? But at the end of the day, something that you and I have stuck to for the most, you know, us, Dave, Steve, and, you know, all the guys that have been involved in this podcast along the years, we've always said, look, we're going to go out there and we're talking about Benfica. So, Alfredo, if we're coming over here, right, and we just follow the Roger Schmidt press conferences, we follow Benfica news directly from the club, I think we're very informed, right? We're informed, and
but you can't. You got to be informed about the league, Chris.
We don't have to tell. What league? Who cares? We just look at this. We got Dave. He's a stat guy. Look, Dave fits into that. Dave says that's a spot. So, 12 in 12th place, and that's it. That's all we need to know. That's it. Doesn't do it. So listen, we're gonna take a deep breath in the off season. Right now, it's premature. Let's worry about Saturday. Let's enjoy Saturday. And then after the buy, sell, repeat, rinse, all that stuff we're going to do, Alfredo, I think your batteries will be recharged. And, you know, maybe we'll kick it back for another, what, season 18 or 12 or 15, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, we're close to 500. Maybe 500, I'll ride into the sunset.
Oh, wait. We're gonna pull a Sopranos? It's going to go dark and just...
It's going to go dark. We're going to be in the middle of the podcast. All of a sudden, it goes dark. And
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Benfica Podcast, number 500.
Exactly. That's exactly how it's going to go down. Now, we'll look, I think the biggest thing on my mind right now is winning the championship and being able to celebrate and being able to see the scenes that we usually see at the Marquês, at the different casas throughout the world. I know the Casa de Benfica Toronto is preparing. I know the one in Newark is preparing, and most of the casas are preparing for what we hope will be a celebration. But certainly, let's just enjoy this, and then worry about next season when we have to worry about next season, which should be in a 4 or 5 weeks' time after the final game. So we'll see. Dave, you got anything else to say so we could go?
No, just I want to feel positive too about going into this match on Saturday. Everything's kind of written in the stars for a positive result here. Last place Santa Clara. I don't even want to discuss about ties with Santa Clara, because then that kind of depreciates anything that happens here on Saturday. The reality is, if they're not a good team this year, they're in last place. they're not, they have no chance of getting or staying up. So if we really want to be in, be crown champions, we have to take care of business at home against a last place team, put it simple like that. And last game of the season, I don't want to hear any excuses of guys not being tired or not being up for this match, because if you're not, then you shouldn't be here to start the next season. We'll keep it as simple as that.
Alfredo, Dave just thinking to himself, well, no podcast next year. I guess I've got to follow the Dick Sivers in the rock in the broom game. What's it called? What's that?
The curling?
The curling. That Dave is going to get into curling.
You got that shit all wrong. They're not even Texeras.
What are they?
Seixeiros.
Teixeiro. It sounds a lot.
It's
very close. But yeah, the Portuguese national team followed them, right? Was the phenomenal. Dave, you're going to get into that, right? But we'll be back on a podcast, Dave. Don't stress. We'll be back.
Danny C is saying Benfica is going to win 4-1.
4-0, 4-1. Toma, malucos. 4-0, bro.
4-0, 4 goals do Gonçalo Ramos para passar para frente.
Mike Madeira says, I look forward to this podcast. I hope this time, off, once we are champions, come. Yeah, pa, vamos ver. I saw
champions. Vamos ver, pa. Vamos ver, pa. All I could think about right now is Saturday's game and celebrating the title and just stepping away for a sec. That's all I'm worried about right now. Olha, chegou ao mesmo tempo.
Olá, Deus.
Take care, everyone. Have a great one. See ya.